Welcome back, beautiful people, patriots across this incredible nation, those that hold the cup of liberty in their hand and are ready to drink it up and pass it on to the next generation. This is Positively American Podcast, the podcast where we talk about everything in the news and the politics of the day to show you the truth that's going on and how we're going to pass the blessing of freedom along to the next generation. I am your host, Braden Langley, and that is what we are all about. We are about taking the freedom, protecting it, developing it, giving it a safe place, and passing it on to the saplings of freedom who are coming right behind us, because we are mighty and hardy oaks who have been weathered by the storms of leftist assaults, and we will not be shaken. That's what we're going to dive in today, people. We have got some beautiful topics. We're going to look at some propaganda from Jill Biden all the way across The View, interestingly saying the same thing. CNN is trying to tie RFK Jr. and Trump together because they're not scared while they're still scared. And we've got some tabs of tyranny that we are going to tie together. Unions are abandoning them. The black vote's abandoning them. Children are abandoning them. Everyone's abandoning the left. We're going to kick it to the intro, and we are going to dive in. This is going to be a show you're going to love. Beautiful people, we have got to talk about some things today. And as you know, we rely heavily on your comments, your feedback, sharing the podcast, because this is a brand new one and this is something that needs to be spread. Now, if you have not caught any of our prior episodes, I do a basic primer on who I am and what I've done. My name is Braden Langley, and my bona fides come directly from the gun rights versus gun control fight world. We spent the last 3.5 years defending the assaults on freedom from the left that looks to take the gun rights that we hold as our protection of freedom against an overarching tyrannical bent of a government. And we fight it back every single day. And there are some amazing, amazing similarities that are coming from that world, which we are bringing to the mainstream. Because I can promise you one thing, beautiful people of the Positively American podcast audience, there is no fighter that has seen more in the way of assaulting our rights than the gun rights fighter. And that's why we're coming out, because they're using the same tactics on you guys. And the veterans from the trenches in the gun rights versus gun control fight are coming mainstream, and they do not even know what's going to hit them. Now, having said that, establishing myself, I have a channel called Langley Outdoors Academy. 527,000 subscribers as of the filming of this podcast, and over 100 million views, all orchestrated around freedom, defending it, nurturing it, and passing it on to the next generation. We utilize the things that are going on in the news, going on in the political sphere, and while they try and take away and snuff out our freedoms, we use it as an impetus to make our freedom argument stronger and pass it on to the next generation, because the contrast of the leftist ideals against conservative freedom could not be more stark. And that's kind of what we're going to talk about today's episode. Now, a while ago, I'm sure you guys were all aware of when this time frame came around, the left made a very dramatic mistake. And we're going to talk about that for a second in the monologue. They made a mistake around COVID, a massive one. They dropped every single modicum of strategy, thought beyond emotion, voter blocks, basic tenets of their party, and they dropped it in order for fear and emotional manipulation. Their party has become a party of fear introduction and fear response. That's what they've become. The tools of the left are marketing fear, disdain, anger, divisiveness, and division. That's the entire playbook now. There is nothing for a better outcome for the American people. There is nothing for the next generation. It is all about orange man bad, conservative bad, everyone bad except our ideals good. It is really boiled down to that level of simplicity. Now, I've said it a bunch, and I'm going to say it a bunch more times on the life of this podcast. The left has drained their audience, their constituency, of life force, effectively. They're crisised out. When you keep a group of people as far into the outrage machine as they have, you're going to get fatigue. And they've had them there for 10 years. But it's required. This kind of filters into the point that I was just saying. The left is pot committed ever since COVID, and they can't see a way out of it. So let me just walk you down a different example here in that same COVID sphere. They realized, as a leftist party, that if they scared people into complacency of their ideals, into acceptance of their ideals, it would work. And to some degree, it has. The left has solidified further left, and it has basically brought this reinforcement to the approach. Those that are expecting delivery from anything that would be scary or treacherous or unsafe are looking to the left of the country for protection from those things by providing safety. And bear with me on this. And again, I need your feedback on this because I think this is a very salient point. They can no longer run campaigns on idea-driven grounds. It all has to be, if you don't do this, then fear and emotional response. If you don't stop Trump, the entire country will implode from the ground upward. If you don't vote for Democrats, you will never even hear the word abortion again. Or, as they like to rephrase it, medical procedure between a woman and her doctor. Because that's what the left does. The left's ideas, on the base level, they can't sell them. And that's what I'm getting to. They have to remarket them. They have to rebrand them. They have to reinvent words in order for different definitions in order to achieve their outrage. For example, take abortion as one of the points. Well, if you were to call abortion what it is, the killing of an unborn child, well, that doesn't poll very well. That's not a good look. So what if we just called it a medical choice between a woman and her doctor where you're just removing group of cells. Because after all, it's not sentient. You see what I mean? It's all around different definitions in order to achieve their political means. Repackage it, and all of a sudden, it's not a baby anymore. Now it's just a clump of cells that doesn't have any kind of conscience. So since it's not conscious, it's perfectly fine. It's now a medical procedure where you are taking care of a medical division between a mother a woman and her doctor. See, you can't even say the word mother, i.e. birthing people. Like, you could go down this road forever. But again, it reinforces the point that I'm trying to make. They are pot committed. And I'm about to show a few of these things that are going to reinforce this point. They are completely given in to fear and division, and they cannot recover because their left base expects them to reinforce that exact same opinion, if that makes sense. And I really hope that I'm landing this plane. Because everything that they have to do requires on repeating a lie after changing the definitions in order to achieve what they want. On the other side of the aisle, you've got conservatism. And I'm not talking about Trump and I'm not talking about Biden. This is movement-based, okay? If you've got a consistent theme of contrast to the fear narrative, you're going to win every time. They've called wolf too many times. If you have a message of hope and it's built in courage and it's built around giving something to the next generation bigger than yourself and beyond yourself, it's only a matter of time before the leftist ideas die. Because in practice, they are not attractive. You can look around and see all the crime, all the immigration, all the inflation, all the shoplifting, all of it. None of it is attractive. And it really does boil down to something that simple. It's not attractive and people don't like it. So you have to obfuscate and you have to redirect and you have to look at something else that's really big and scary. Don't look at what's actually happening. Look at what could happen. And that's what I'm about to start to show you. So if we go into this first segment, like I told you, I've got to show you some things in contrast. Or not contrast, sorry. Exact examples in duplicitous nature of the left between The View and Joe Biden. You've got the First Lady and then you've got The View, which are supposed to be these nonpartisan people. Okay, well, let's dive into this world real quick. Let's start with Jill Biden and let's see if we can break this down real quick because she kind of got called on the carpet a little bit about Trump beating the crap out of Biden in the swing polls, and she didn't like it too much. Check this out.
People are excited, and I really feel like, you know, people know the choice this election. They can choose chaos or they can choose, you know, steady wisdom experience. So
it's not a part of you that's a little worried because you seem to be off kilter a little bit.
I feel that Joe will be reelected.
But when these polls, like the Wall Street Journal one, land in the White House and he's losing in all the battleground states.
No, he's not losing in all the battleground states. He's coming up and he's even or doing better. So you know what? Once people start to focus in and they see their two choices, it's obvious that Joe will win this election.
All right.
It's obvious that Joe's going to win this election. Of course it is. But after all, he's not losing in all of the swing states. He's only losing, as of the filming of this podcast, in 6 out of 7. And his numbers are coming up. So we've gone from Joe's the obvious choice with all of his wisdom and his experience and his just calm demeanor, which is a huge lie because he went so far to the left it was head spinning. Well, really, to be fair, he didn't go to the left. The people running and pulling the strings with his hand up his butt went to the left. He's just the puppet. But anyway, personal opinion. You guys can let me know. But Joe Biden, he's not losing, but he's coming up. Wait a minute. How can you be coming up if you're not losing? And I thought the choice was incredibly obvious. Biden is clearly the better solution. It's so obvious and clear, which is why he's almost winning, but he's tied. He's not winning. Well, he might be winning, but he could be awkward. So what you're seeing right now, and this is the first part, you're seeing a narrative trying to be spun and go towards the appeal to rationality. Look how amazingly steadfast and just confident Joe is. His numbers, well, he's not losing in every single swing state. He's just losing in 6 of them out of 7. And his numbers, after all, are coming up. Okay, well, that's cute. But now let's talk about the last thing, and this is where it's going to tie into the next clip with Joy Behar. So when you talk about something that people are going to do in the future, people are going to see it. They're going to get there. It's absolutely going to be great. In fact, let me just remind you one more time in case you didn't hear it. This is the tail end of that same clip.
Once people start to focus in and they see their two choices, it's obvious that Joe will win this election.
All right.
Did you catch that? And this is so key because it's going to be an underlying theme on this main point. Once people start looking and start paying attention, it's obvious the choice that they're going to make is obviously going to be Joe. It's obvious, right, guys? So it's all based on hopium. So yeah, he's getting absolutely smoked right now, but he's on the way up and he might be doing better. He's not losing in every swing state, just 6 out of 7. And once people start paying attention, those polls are going to come up. Again, it's all predicated on the idea that people are going to change magically, or some behavior is going to change. Keep that in mind. Trump has been winning in these polls for months now, and it's only amplifying. So what they're actually saying is, no, don't look at the response to my record. Don't look at the response to our policies. Don't look at the response to anything. Eventually, people are going to see those two choices and see Trump and say, oh my gosh, he's so unstable and scary. Biden is obviously better. Again, it reinforces the monologue that I just walked you through. It's about fear. Well, once people see that Trump could do this and you'll never be able to hear the word abortion again and he's going to close the borders and he's going to take out underneath the deep state or take down the deep state and he's going to get rid of all the federal bureaucracies and everybody's like, are you trying to prove his point or prove against his point? Because again, it's all about look how scary he is. And once people see how scary he is, they'll forget the crap sandwich that they're in right now. It's all about focusing on something else other than themselves. It's all obfuscation. But that's just the first one. And wouldn't you know it, that Joy Behar is waiting right here in the wings for another one. I'll tell you what, I would never have seen this coming.
doing this. Why do you want to destroy the election and hand it to Trump if possible?
Yeah, but I mean, he's a
Kennedy. His forefathers are rolling over in their graves with this. His own family is telling.
But a lot of people.
And we already have one clown in the race. Do we need two of them?
But a lot of people, including myself, believe in time there is space for a third party. So I tend to think the people that take this on aren't coming at it like, I'm going to ruin the election for everyone. I truly think they believe there's a lane to try to create something. I just don't think it's this election.
Well, I think many times delusion has destroyed a country. And that's what we're dealing with here with this. The polls are too close, even though you don't believe in them.
I don't.
I know, Whoopi, but they're very close. Even though now
that's why I don't believe in
Biden is slightly ahead, and it's only, what are we, in April now?
Yeah,
March, whatever. pretty soon, people are starting to focus, and they'll realize the danger that Trump poses. I believe that.
But
pretty soon, people are going to start to notice the danger that they're in, and the polls will turn around. That's almost verbatim what Jill Biden just said. Isn't it weird how you have two people who speak to a predominantly female audience on the same side of the aisle politically, saying almost the exact same sentence, almost the exact same time, almost like there are reports circulating in the Democratic circles around talking points and addressing the concerns that every Democrat feels. And I tell you, the coincidences abound. Or they're circulating these points in Democratic circles because they know they are terrified and they've got to come up with something to hold the wolves at bay. And the best thing they can come up with is not pointing to a policy or any type of result. It's all about hopium. So people are going to get scared of Trump because you got to be afraid in order to vote and do what I want. Understand, that's what's going on right here. This is not some ultra secretive 4D chess strategic political move. This is quite literally, we're getting our butts handed to us. But I think people are going to turn around when they see how evil the Nazi dictator Trump is. He's orange after all. It goes back to reinforce the entire point, leftism versus conservatism. This is not Trump and Biden. This is quite literally the approach of two ideologies, and one is kicking the other one so freaking hard, they've got to lie about the fact of how scary the other one is. Because they can't point to anything they've done in 4 years that has been successful. Consistently. And after all, anyone who would say anything different is just lying to you, because lying is bad, and that's what they're doing, so it's obviously not good. And now I'm going to take the opportunity to go over to CNN real quick and do a brief little snippet that's something they just did around those same 6 out of 7 battleground states, same time frame.
And the economy, always an important factor. Well, this is a trouble sign for the Biden campaign, because across the 7 states in this Wall Street Journal poll, only 36% say that the strength of the economy is excellent or good. 63%, nearly 2/3 of Americans in these 7 decisive states, say not so good or poor.
Not so good or poor. Beautiful people, stalwart oaks, young little saplings, understand what we are talking about here. Because those numbers that were just represented, 36% and the other 2/3. Okay, the 36% or the 30% are the hard left liberals who are gonna vote for Biden or anyone blue, no matter who, because Trump bad, orange man bad. Understand what they just said. They've got the core constituency group saying that everything's hunky-dory because they want their Biden. And then you got the independents and the conservatives all going, this smells like crap, it feels like crap, it looks like crap. We never had inflation before. We didn't have insane crime before. We didn't have any of the crap that we're dealing with, but orange man bad is the best answer you have. And when you've got 6 out of 7, actually, excuse me, that was all 7. 7 battleground states, 2/3 of the population is saying the economy is poor or unwell. Yeah, boo, you got bigger problems than people are going to hopefully see how scary Trump is. But again, this speaks to an overall narrative that is horrifyingly bad, because all they can rely on is fear, manipulation, and overt just lies. And it's really pathetic. But that's where we're at. I mean, genuinely. And so, speaking of where we're at genuinely, before we get to the tabs of tyranny, There is a very determined determined strategy happening on the other end of the spectrum. So, we got to talk about RFK Jr. and Trump. Here's the secret. They've been wrong, and when I say they, I mean the left. The left has been wrong every single time they've said anything about RFK Jr. on who he's going to pull support from. If you look at RFK Jr.'s impact on all the races, particularly in the swing states, Pennsylvania is off the table. North Carolina is off the table. Michigan gets impacted. Wisconsin gets impacted. Arizona gets impacted. He's pulling from the left, and it pushes Trump to an unprecedented victory if those polls were accurate to the actual outcomes. Now, they'll tell you, no. He is not a threat at all. And then in the next breath, they'll say he's the worst threat on the planet. Again, this is RFK Jr. because he's taking away from Biden's center. No one likes Biden in the center. The far left is going to go with Biden because they're identifying the best possible outcome for their ideology in Biden because he's done it so far for 4 years. They want the crime. They want this inflation. They want these policies because they're aligning to the outcome that they desire through the disproportionate distribution of wealth, as they would call it, because it gets more people riled up. Bad times and chaos allow for a lot more motivation around anger and fear. Keep that in mind. Now, we're going to look into CNN because CNN, they try to act like they're going to go back to center, but they are absolutely not. And they're going to spend these next two clips trying to tie RFK Jr. to Trump. Now, keep in mind that RFK Jr. just got his VP a far leftist. So now you're going to lose a little bit more from the far left of Biden going to the RFK Jr. ticket, and you're going to lose the middle to the RFK Jr. ticket. Biden's being hollowed out by RFK Jr., even though they tell you he has no effect, but at the same time, a horrible effect. Check out CNN.
Panel is back. I got so excited, so beklempt about the idea of listening to the Golden Girls theme song that I lost my train of thought. What do you all think of this? Is this something that, I mean, obviously we're playing it and we're talking about it. It's clever, but it does go to the notion of a core argument that the DNC and the Biden right. campaign has, which is who's funding this guy and isn't it just friends of Donald Trump?
Right. Well, it's this, the person they're referring to is, I think, Tim Mellon, who's given gobs of money to both RFK and to Trump. And I think the point is that this is a guy who wants to hurt Joe Biden. And look at who he's giving money to, and he's not the only one, you know?
Look at what they are doing. Someone who has a lot of money who does not like Biden is giving money to both of his opponents because it's going to end up hurting Biden more. Is that surprise anyone? Like, they're acting like this is all of a sudden this thing that has never happened. Do you remember when Trump was elected the first time and the media and all the Democrat pundits were all encouraging Trump up until the primary? He got the primary nod and then he wiped the floor with them and now they had to go on this ultimate rage machine to attack him again. They're the ones who did the exact same thing to Trump because they thought he had no chance in 2016 to beat Hillary Clinton. So they elevated him, gave him all of the exposure, he gets the primary nod, and then gets elected and beats their little feminine Obama 3.0, because it was her turn. I'm with her. Remember all this? They did the exact same thing, but it's bad when dark, evil money does the same thing, people. Beautiful people, the positively American experience here. It's comical. But it shows you what they're afraid of. Now, let me tie this together with a second part of this exact same clip, and then we're going to dive into the tabs of tyranny, which I'm going to be honest, I am amped about. Let's wrap this segment.
I think that's exactly the point that they're trying to make, that this is another effort by Republicans to hurt Biden and the campaign. This is not a candidate to be taken seriously. But I have seen some reporting that there is concern among Republicans that RFK could hurt Trump as well with his anti-vaccine position, some of his libertarian positions. So I think it's still a little bit unclear who he's more of a spoiler for, but that's obviously not the point the DNC is trying to make.
But right. I think what this does show, while they're not considering him a serious candidate, they are taking him as a serious threat, which is why you have outside supportive group of Biden that is taking on RFK Jr. And they know the margins in some of these states are going to be very narrow. The Trump campaign knows it too. You haven't seen them openly spending money to go after RFK Jr., but if it starts looking like he's going to cut into whatever numbers they have, I wouldn't be surprised if they're not far behind.
And the argument that he is making and what he's trying to tap into is dissatisfaction with both of the options that people have on the Democratic and Republican side.
Did you catch that? Stalwart Oaks and Little Saplings of Freedom? What they openly just said was, yeah, they show you who they're afraid of by their money spend and their ad focus. Because the whole point of this segment is it's reviewing a clip about the Democrats trying to tie RFK Jr. directly to Donald Trump. Now, I didn't play the clip because the clip's stupid. But the point still remains. The entire point of this is they'll tell you on one hand, like the woman in the middle that just said there, the beginning of that second clip, well, I mean, it's not really 100% sure if RFK Jr. is going to pull from Republicans as well or Democrats. Okay. I know we're not wizards, but if you've got one party, the Democrats, attacking him and trying to tie him to the other, and then the other party, i.e. Trump, is not attacking him, do you think there's any chance at all in this universe that in the internal polling on both candidates and campaigns, they know where it's pulling from? Because I guarantee you, if it was pulling from Trump's realm of influence, you would see the attack ads coming from Trump. But you're not. He's sitting back letting it happen because it's pulling from Democrats. And the Democrats all know it. That's why they're attacking him. That's why the media is furious with him. That's why they are trying to remove him from ballots in all the swing states. It is comical that they consistently try to tell you, no, don't believe your lying eyes. The sky is not blue, and it's definitely not orange, and it's not going to be orange because we're just going to tie RFK Jr. to Trump because, after all, they're funded by the same person, but he's not attacking Biden or pulling anything from Biden. Meanwhile, Trump's sitting on a beach having a cold beer. I mean, all you have to do is zoom out and look at it objectively. It's obvious what's happening. And the media is not too happy about it because they kind of goofed the first time with Trump in 2016. But that was an interesting thought. I thought that was a very fascinating point we needed to address. And then it's time. It's time to dive into the tabs of tyranny, because what we're about to break into for the last segment of this show is some things that should be pure nightmare fuel for Biden. I mean, genuinely, like Freddy Krueger kind of nightmare fuel. Listen to this first one. Political beliefs outweigh union ties for key group of Michigan voters. Well, Michigan's a swing state. Michigan is heavily unionized. That's why Gretchen Whitmer is so entrenched in power. But now, all of a sudden, the political beliefs outweigh the union ties. The Democrats have relied on Democrat voters influenced by the union for decades. If all of a sudden the union doesn't have pull with the union members like they consistently have in the past, and people are voting on their own political beliefs for the country versus what the political beliefs of the union are, I cannot stress to you how bad that will be for the Democrats. Because understand, we've hit this a few times, and we're going to continue to hit it all the time. The Democrats and the left rely on demographic splits on buckets of people. They have to put people into buckets, collections of people, so they can address the buckets more easily. They cannot operate addressing individuals. That's why the entire allure of collectivism through socialism and leftism is so appealing to Democrats, because you have to talk to a group of people. You want a real-world example from the gun world? NRA is bad. It's the bane of all existence. If we just got rid of the NRA, we would have no supporters of gun rights on the planet, and we could finally take the guns as we've been promising we would, but can't say it out loud. Then the NRA pretty much loses all influence, and all of a sudden you have 15 splinter groups in their place who are doing more damage, and we popped out like a hydra because you're not going to kill the support for the Second Amendment by looking at a group or a figurehead or an icon like the left has to do. Their constituents cannot divide up amongst individuals. You have to have a bucket of people to demonize. That's what you're seeing. So if you have a bucket of people on the other side that are supporters of the Democrats and you can no longer address them as the unions are going to vote for us, but now actually reach them on an individual political level, you're in trouble. You're in big trouble if you're Biden, because now you have to go back to the things that are outside of those demographic buckets. You can't just say SEIU is a lock. You have to say, wow, the independent voters actually need policy. But going back to the earlier monologue, they don't have policy. They're so pot committed to the COVID fear, anxiety, and rage that they can't go anywhere else. They have to maintain. They're going to bust up your union if Trump gets elected. It's always going to be the same thing. But because people are differentiating themselves from the collective, the Democrats are losing collective control. Understand why this is so important. I got a few clips from this I'm going to share with you. So again, this is from an article on NBC News. Voters in union households could end up being one of the most important groups in key 2024 battleground states, but they are far from a cohesive block. They have to have demographic blocks. They cannot operate on individuals. A series of focus groups highlighted the deep divides among union voters and their families in states like Michigan, where President Joe Biden and former President Donald Trump are both courting them. And they illustrated why the voters largely plan to prioritize their own political views far above their union affiliation as they consider who to support in November. You could not write a more terrifying paragraph for a Democrat if you tried. They have to have unified control over demographic blocks, the union in this case being one of them. But let me continue on, because this article continues to highlight the danger that they are in. Recent polls show Biden has the edge with voters in union households, but with leads inside the margin of error, down from his edge in 2020 exit polling. So he's losing support with union voters, and at the same time, 4 years later, the union voters are saying, yeah, I'm not going to vote because what my union tells me to do. I'm going to vote for my political affiliations and obligations. This is like class 9 meteor incoming. Send up the Armageddon rocket. This is not good. Got a few more things here for you. Listen to this quote. Although these Michigan respondents all come from union households, most don't define themselves as union voters or take their political cues from union leadership. Holy balls. You're in the White House reading this? And you got to come up with an idea fast, because that is a centralized power in a swing state in Michigan. That's a big freaking deal. And you better not offend any of the other groups, because you're also losing the youth vote. You're also losing the black vote. You've lost the Arab vote. And now you're losing union voting. Sweet baby Moses. You can't think of a more, like I said, a worse scenario. Now listen to this. And this kind of ties this up with a really nice bow. The participants in the focus groups all said they are basing their votes far more on conventional issues like the economy, immigration, abortion, and democracy than any feelings about their union background. Well, economy, Trump, immigration, Trump, abortion, Biden, and democracy, perceived Biden. The only problem for Biden here is economy and immigration, which would side for Trump, are in the top three. Abortion and democracy are in the bottom 10. This is seriously nightmare fuel. Now, if you want to go a little deeper in this article, which, you know what, why not? Let's do it. When you're asked to say the first thing that came to mind when they heard Biden's name, only two of the 15 shared anything remotely positive. Do you understand what I just told you? Out of 15 people who are telling you that the most important issues are the economy and immigration. And they're moving away from the union-supported politician to voting on their own policies. It does not take long to see that they are moving away from the expected demographic voting block that they're expected to do in their union, and they're voting on their own policy choices and preferences, which is the economy and immigration, which is aligned to Trump. That's a net negative for Biden, and that is a positive for Trump. Nightmare fuel. But let me show you some words they used. As I just said, 2 out of 15. The rest said words or phrases like absent-minded, grandpa, and weak. Just 3 shared positive views about Trump, with the rest of the participants using terms like untrustworthy, dumpster fire, and bully. Good Lord. Everything that is the stereotype around Biden was just confirmed, and everything that the media pitches is, in my opinion, a lot of propaganda, was shown up in Trump. These people are listening to the mainstream media. It really is staggering. It is absolutely staggering. But understand, they have a massive problem, and they don't want you to know about it, because after all, everyone's going to eventually wake up and see the dire threat that is coming at us like a tsunami on the horizon. Are we? Or are we just kind of like fed up with the BS? Oh, hey, speaking of BS, the next tab of tyranny. The Biden administration rule makes firing federal workers harder as Trump promises deep state revamp. Well, now that is really interesting. And let's dive into that for a second. Let's break it down. The deep state, in a very high level, easy to understand analysis, is the bureaucrats that are instilled by elected officials that have no elected accountability to the people, and they stay and they make the cogs of Washington, D.C. run. They go from administration to administration, from Congress to Congress. That's what they do. And while they're doing this, they have almost guaranteed job security, a bloated government budget, and they have unchecked power, because it is not by political means they're given power. It's by appointments. So when you say the deep state, what you're really talking about is people that are unaccountable to the electorate, or the electorate. That's not a good thing. And yet Biden just made a rule saying that firing federal workers is going to be harder. Well, that kind of signals that Trump might win, doesn't it? Because if Biden and the Democrats were so absolutely certain that Trump had no chance in hell, do you think that they would put this rule out? Because believe me, the Biden administration loves them some rules through the bureaucrats and the bureaucratic state. Bringing in the gun angle a little bit for all the gun people out there. This is the exact same process that they use to infringe upon our gun rights on a consistent basis. They just make up rules to redefine existing law, and they basically rule and write new laws from the executive branch through the bureaucracies through the use of rules. Now, the one thing that they don't tell you, and this is really one of the funniest part about this entire thing that the left does for this marketing pitch, they tell you that Biden has unilaterally acted as the source to solve all these issues through the use of rules. They don't tell you that quite literally the next president can come in and rip those rules out from a root very quickly with an executive order, the same way they're put in place. So while Biden is trying to appeal to his Washington, D.C. bureaucratic base by saying your jobs are guaranteed just in case Trump gets power, which he's already promised that he's going to destroy you, we're going to put a rule in place so you're secure. Now, we're not going to tell you a little secret, knock, knock, secret, secret, that they can undo it the second they get power. And it's kind of comical, but we just kind of roll with it because, hey, it's pandering. So let me walk you through this a little bit. President Biden's administration is implementing a new rule to make it more difficult to fire federal workers as former President Trump promises to revamp the workforce to weed out the deep state. Again, kind of odd from someone who says they're going to wake up and Biden's going to absolutely, it's obvious, be elected. All of a sudden, they're kind of doing little insurance policies. Odd things I notice. Anyway, Early Thursday, this is yesterday, the White House released a statement from the Democratic incumbent president regarding the final rule to protect nonpartisan civil servants. Nonpartisan, huh? Biden says his administration was announcing protections for 2.2 million career civil servants from political interference to guarantee that they can carry out their responsibilities in the best interest of the American people. What? What do you bet that those best interests might have something to do with all the bureaucratic levers in order to gum up the works and continue to have a floating budget that is inflated and insane? What do you bet that's probably part of it? Because the bureaucracy wants the Democrats in power because the bureaucracy sees its own identity being threatened by Trump. There's a reason that the deep state attacked Trump so hard is because he threatened them. They're an organism. Above all else, they want to survive. But don't worry, there's some flowery language to go along with it. Biden deemed the rule to be a step forward combating corruption and partisan interference to ensure civil servants are able to focus on the most important task at hand, delivering for the American people. Anyone else smell BS? Just want to throw that out there. And oh, look at this. This is so odd. The last thing I'll say on this article. Biden nullified Schedule F, which is the plan that Trump was going to put in place to basically gut the deep state, upon taking office. So immediately the bureaucrats wanted their protections back in place. But if Trump were to revive it during a second administration, he could dramatically increase the around 4,000 federal employees who are considered political appointees and typically change with each new president. How many employees might have been affected by Schedule F is unclear. So remember that 2.2 million federal employees I just said? Biden just put in protections for 4,000 of them. What? 2.2 million, 4,000. All of a sudden, it's to protect political interference, of course. Of course, it's not at all anything political there. Just wanted to throw that out there. And that's what I've got for you guys. Let me know what you think in the comments field. Please share this one out. Give me a rating. Let me know overall. Somehow send up a smoke signal. And I will see you on the next one. I'm Braden. See you later.